Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's not Friday, but our Friday guest, Darren Dreger, joins us, TSN Hockey Insider, and joins us here because, as everyone knows, we're off here this weekend. It's Memorial Day. We're off Friday and Monday, so Darren was kind enough to move his schedule up to today. So what's going on, Dregs? How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, just continuing to enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs and sort through some of the stuff that's gone on. You know, we do a thing, Ray Ferraro and I do the podcast, right? And coolbet.co is a gambling site, and they're part of the sponsorship group of the podcast. So we had Chris Abbott on a couple of weeks ago, and he fired a couple of questions at Ray and I. One of them was, what do you think the over-under is on the number of overtime games in round one of the playoffs? And I think they set the line at 10.5. Well, instantly, I'm like, 10.5? There's not going to be over 10 overtime games in round one. No, it's under. And Ferraro was the same. No, it's under. It's definitely under. How many have there been? There was like 10 in the first, you know, half dozen games across the board. So,
how many has there been?
I don't know. But it's, what is it? A dozen or more? I think it was at 10 on the weekend. But the hockey has been tremendous. And you know what, for me, fellas, you know, obviously, you know, working for TSN, we're focused on the North Division, the Canadian matchups. And, you know, Toronto, Montreal has been a bit of a disappointment, certainly a disappointment between Edmonton and Winnipeg. But I'm watching like the Carolina Nashville game last night in conjunction with Toronto and Montreal. And I'm looking at all the fans in the building. I'm like, oh, like, it just adds so much. I mean, you guys as players, and I'll admit I was wrong. I didn't think that the fan involvement was going to have a significance of presence or influence on the game in general. Of course, the atmosphere matters, and having fans in the building is everything about the entertainment value and all of that. But, man, I'm watching that, and I'm, like, looking at this North Division game between Toronto and Montreal. Like, there's a pretty big difference in the quality of hockey.
On the very first goal that was scored by Toronto, beautiful pass from Kerfoot to Galchenyuk, who makes a no-look behind-the-leg pass to Nylander.
Yeah.
Nylander ends in the corner, and on TV – it focuses on Nylander, and all you hear is one guy start screaming, "Yeah!" Like, and that's all you could hear. And then you go watch the other places where there's fans, and when someone scores, the place is electric. The fans are waving the towels. The fans drive this game.
Look at that Tampa, Florida series. Important. That Tampa Florida series escalates, I think, in those first few games because of the fan reaction.
Yeah,
probably. And I laugh because I checked with the NHL, you know, what's the capacity of allowed capacity of the Hurricanes games in Raleigh? And I was told 65%. And I literally laughed out loud when I read it. This is coming from the NHL head office, because I'm like, okay, well, then they've got their math wrong in Raleigh. Because that looks jammed to the rafters, doesn't it? So, you know, it's maybe, okay, let's take this ticket, keep going. We won't take that one, keep going.
Every other ticket is counted.
We only collected 65% of the tickets. I mean, it's
But they're paying. But they're paying for every beer. You know that. Instigators WGR 550 and MSGR Friday guest TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger joining us here today as we're off on Friday and Monday for the long weekend. But before we get into Sabres talk and McDavid talk and some other stuff around the league. You know, you say you're enjoying the playoffs. Have you enjoyed the playoff format? And by that, I mean, is this something you'd like to see maybe going forward? Can all the Canadian teams or the divisions playing each other coming out of the divisions maybe as, a, you know, is it something you've given some thought to?
A little bit. You know, again, because we're stuck in the North Division, it's not going to stay the same. There won't be a Canadian division, again, unless there's something else COVID-related, pandemic-specific, where the NHL has to bob and weave and change for 2021-22. But that's not to say that they aren't going to take a hard look at the playoff matrix and perhaps come up with some ideas. You know, we've asked about, you know, qualifying round or play-in scenario like we saw going into return to play and whether or not that might be something that the NHL takes a harder look at. And you get immediate pushback from the commissioner's office. Commissioner Bettman has repeatedly said he's not in favor of that. Could that change? Yeah, maybe it could change. But I think for 21-22, guys, the focus is on just getting back to whatever the new normal is in the National Hockey League. So go back to the old divisions and play your normal playoff style the way you would have pre-pandemic, which buys everybody a little bit of time and also gives you a fresh comparison, right? So now we know what we're dealing with in this Stanley Cup playoff run. We know what return to play looked like, and that was a one-off, hopefully. You don't have to think about that. But you look at this year with the North Division and the independent divisions and all of that, the crossover idea with the reseeding, and then you go through next season in a more traditional format, and then you make a decision after that as to what needs to get tweaked. There's no shortage of ideas. I mean, club by club, every team has a different idea, a different marketing strategy, and then you, you know, throw Steve Mayer's the head of that element with the National Hockey League into the equation. There are grand ideas of what can happen and what should be changed. I don't think it's going to happen, though, in time for next season.
Darren Dreger joining us here. And time now for the token question, but I feel like there could be more to it this week, Dregs. Jack Eichel update on the injury front, and where do the Sabres stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, just a marginal update in that there's at least a timeline on what the next step in this recovery process should be. And my understanding is that the two groups, be it Jack Eichel and the Buffalo Sabres, should have a clear indication by next week. Not to say that it's etched in stone, that there will be a decision, surgery versus no surgery next week. Man, it feels like we've been talking about this a long, long time. Yeah. But it sounds like they're getting closer to a timeline. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about this off air prior to coming into the segment. Okay, well, if Eichel is successful in convincing the Buffalo Sabres or just declaring that for his own good health, he's going to have this experimental surgery. I don't know if it's fair to call it that, but it hasn't happened to an NHL player before. So it's out there. It's outside the box thinking, what does that mean? You know, do the Sabres have to endorse it? You know, would the Players Association or the National Hockey League get involved? What could the insurance implications be? And on it goes. So those are things that maybe we know more about as early as next week. It's just, you know, the information now is that they're closing in on a timeline and they may get to that point of having to make that decision next week.
Yeah, so it's very clear that the Sabres would like to go in a different direction than to do this this type of surgery. I think Jack's camp feels very confident with the surgery. So at what point in time does, you know, the Buffalo Sabres say, okay, Jack, if you want to have this surgery, you're going to sign a waiver with our club. And if things don't go the way they should go and you have implications or some issues with this, that you're not on the hook. We're not on the hook to pay you the $50 million that we would owe you.
Yeah. Like, you know, go out and get his own sort of insurance coverage.
Yeah, he would have to insure himself, because if Jack can't play and there's neck related issues in the future, that it's not on the Sabres anymore to have to pay him. You know, all that money.
Yeah, and look, you know, it also becomes then, you know, further to that, a collective bargaining agreement discussion as well, which would involve the Players Association. Whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, there are limitations to what a player can and can't do specific to his own health. I mean, that's just how the CBA is structured. And we've been down this before on the show, talking about, you know, when Jack was trying to make these decisions, what options he had. Well, every player has a right to a second opinion. But generally speaking, the direction of the recovery process is more to do with the Sabres because they own the contract. They own the property of this player. So I wouldn't say I'm fascinated by what may come, but I'm certainly intrigued by it because it's going to have to involve multiple people, especially if Jack says, well, I'm either having the surgery or I'm not coming back. I'm not healthy enough and I'm not going to feel healthy enough to come back. This is the best path. So you either support it or we're going to challenge. And, you know, again, keep in mind here, and we talked a little bit about this in the last couple of weeks, you know, he could file a medical grievance. He hasn't yet with the NHLPA. And I don't even know how much weight that carries and what sort of process you have to go through with a player who's, you know, with his team. You've seen it before with players who have left organizations and now they're seeking, you know, some sort of damages or something along those lines. So, yeah, I mean, there'll be multiple layers if that's the decision that Jack wants to make. But
I can't imagine he's the first player that's had a herniated disc in his neck.
Well, I'm thinking back to Gary Roberts back in the day, and I don't know what the specific injury was with Robs, but I do remember, and this is going back many years, when he was with the Calgary Flames, there was a chance that his career was over, right? Like, it was essentially over. And whether he found, and I should know this, I'm sure I've heard the story a bunch, you know, whether he found, again, experimental treatment, I don't know that he had surgery. Again, we could probably Google and find it out pretty quickly. But beyond that, I mean, yeah, of course, there have been lots of neck-related injuries and problems. But and as I understand this procedure, initially I thought the surgery was simply to encourage the retraction of that disc, right? To get it back into its healthy place so that the tissues and everything around it could solidify and grow and just get healthy again, period. But then as I read more about the procedure after Jack came out and talked to the media, again, it sounds like it's essentially replacing that disc, right, with an artificial disc. So, I mean, I don't know. None of us are medical professionals here. So, but I would say this. You guys as pro players, you know, it's not like your agent says, hey, you might want to consider this. You go, yeah, just book it. I'll go in and do it. I think it's safe to assume that Jack has done a lot of research on this, not just based on the guidance of Peter Fish and the specialists that he has been seeing. Like, I mean, he is taking a considered risk here in going under the knife and having a surgery that no other NHL players had. So if he didn't feel safe, he probably wouldn't do it. I think that's pretty clear.
Yes.
No question. No question. It's a huge risk. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Darren Dreger joining us here. Normally Friday, but as I mentioned to you again, I'll just remind you, we're off Friday and Monday. It's Memorial Day weekend. You know, this time of year with players that are on expired contracts, you hear about qualifying offers and contract extensions and things like that. Is there any word on first Rasmus Dahlin, if the Sabres and Dahlin are working on a deal, but also Sam Reinhart, because I don't know that it's certain that they'll move him, and he does need a contract if he is back.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's certainly not certain that you know he's on the trade block or will be, but I also feel like there's enough work that Kevin Adams has to do to that roster that you have to be willing to listen, and every manager will tell you the same. I mean, we in the media come up with lists of untouchable players. And almost on a yearly basis, they become fewer and fewer, just depending on how significant your needs are. I would say that, you know, Adams is going to exhaust every opportunity to get Sam Reinhart extended. And I think the same applies to Rasmus Dahlin. I'm sure that there's been dialogue. I don't know that there's been any heavy negotiations on either front, but, you know, I feel like the focus right now for Buffalo is on the coach, and they continue to work through that progress. But hand in hand, you're having your conversations with the applicable agents to see where you're at. I mean, you still have time, right? There's still time. And in the case of both those players, if you're Adams, why would you be pushed or rushed into anything? They're not unrestricted free agent players. The Sabres own their property. So you don't want to go through messy negotiations. And I don't think either is lining up in that direction. But short of one of those players flat out asking for a trade, you might as well just continue to have that dialogue, have those conversations, and hopefully find common ground at some point.
Go ahead, River.
I'm curious with the Sam Reinhardt situation. Is he easier to trade if he had a long-term contract signed and sealed and delivered? Is he easier to trade at that point, or is he easier to trade at not having a contract right now?
Good question. I guess it all depends on what is the length of that long-term contract and ultimately what is that AAV. There's a number of general managers have a lot of time for Sam Reinhardt. Again, different situation given, his status as a free agent. But I, you know, look, the Taylor Hall situation with Boston. Don Sweeney and the Boston Bruins had conversations, of course, with Darren Ferris, who represents Taylor Hall, about the idea of a contract extension. If you're interested in Sam Reinhardt, you're interested in Sam Reinhardt because you think he's going to make your hockey club better. If he's got a sweet contract with a term you can manage and an AAV that fits the type of player he is, well, that makes it even better. He's coming off a decent year, but maybe if you're a better team, that's also intriguing to him as well. So he feels like he's going into a situation where he's in a better place where he can win. So even though he's been a good soldier on the contract front, he's going to want his term. He's going to want his money. Maybe he's willing to be a little bit more flexible in that environment, talking contract extension with his new club.
Rick Tocchet, reports about Rick Tocchet. You mentioned coaching search going on. Is there any reason to think that he could be the guy? I mean, I'm still a firm believer that it'll be Donnie Meatballs, but, you know, they are going through the process.
Yeah, you have to give Adams and Jason Karmanos credit for wanting to go through the process. I feel like that's just doing your due diligence. That doesn't make them smarter than any other management group in the National Hockey League. But you might as well compare apples to apples. And that's even a tough comparison because when you look at Donnie Granato and what he was able to do on the bench of the Buffalo Sabres, you saw it firsthand with players that – you know, the next coach is going to have to deal with by and large. So he most definitely earns the benefit of the doubt. But then you're looking at the success that Rick Tocchet has had. You look at Rick Tocchet as a former player. You look at how he's gotten into the ear of certain star players over his time. And he's attractive. And then you look beyond that. And if you're really leaning on the development side of things, again, Granato has an edge there, but maybe you do look at some of the successful college coaches or younger coaches out there who are perhaps as much in tune with the younger players or maybe even more in tune. But you have to go through all of that. And by going through all of it, you know, maybe you do get to that point at the end where you say, look, we interviewed 6-8 guys. I mean, it was good. It was great. We probably won't have to do that again anytime soon, but we still believe that Don Granato is the top candidate.
There was a rumor that Boudreau interviewed.
I know he was in line, whether he's done it or not.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know. My next question was going to be, any idea about how that went? But if you didn't know, Riv, you looked like you were going to say something.
I was curious to ask about Nazem Kadri and his 8-game suspension. Seems like he is going to try and appeal this 8-game suspension. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's an appeal hearing, in fact, with Commissioner Bettman tomorrow to hear. And, you know, Bettman will expedite the process. I mean, time is of the essence here. Obviously, it's an 8-game suspension. You know, Colorado's waiting for Vegas and Minnesota to wrap that up, and then they'll move into the next series. I don't know. I mean, given the rap sheet of Nazem Kadri, you know, 6 suspensions now, how many of them have been in the playoffs? Is it 4?
3.
4 of them, 3 of them in the playoffs. I mean, he's obviously not getting the message. I mean, 8 is steep because you do have to do the math, right? And an 8-game suspension in the playoffs is not the same thing mathematically as 8 games in the regular season. I mean, you know, most traditionally would look at it and say, well, it's close to 16 games if you want to go the traditional postseason math. Do I think that Bettman is going to reduce it? Probably not, but he has in the past. You know, he reduced Tom Wilson's, 20-game suspension down to 14. But I guess I'm wondering also about the calendar here and how quickly this can get through, because if he doesn't reduce it, then Nazem Kadri has another vehicle, and that's the independent arbitrator. That's where it goes to when it leaves the commissioner's office. And then that independent arbitrator has to hear the case and look over the file again. So how many games is Nazem Kadri going to shave off here? So I think this more has to do with him trying to set a record straight in that, you know, yeah, he's a repeat offender. Yeah, he's got a history of an ugly rap sheet when it comes to the playoffs, but he wants to prove on record that George Parros exaggerated his suspension in this case. So this is as much about Nazem Kadri trying to establish a record as it is to the obvious appeal in the reduction of number of games. He, by the way, hired an outside lawyer. He's working with the Players Association. The PA filed a grievance, but he's got a lawyer who is also part of this process. And
you think it was a headshot, Drex?
Yeah, I did. I didn't like the path. And I didn't think he had to hit the player at that point in that fashion. So I can understand the suspension. I thought it was warranted.
You didn't like the path, and you factor in the player and you see the result, and you just, and you know,
suspended in 2018 playoffs, suspended in new 2019 playoffs. How is this guy even thinking that he should appeal this? I feel Gary Petey said it yesterday, and we were all chuckling about it, but Petey says if he goes and appeals this, Gary Bettman should get throw on 2 more games.
Just for appealing it.
Just for appealing it.
That should be an automatic, right? Just to gum up the process.
It's ridiculous that he's appealing this.
Well, it is, but you know what? I also feel – I don't feel for Nazem Kadri because he's a tremendous hockey player, but he's in the Tom Wilson category for me. Like, enough is enough. You know, straddle that, find the line and straddle the line, but it's enough of the crossing the line. But if I were a player, and there's always this disconnect because there are 2 things about this process that would annoy me as an NHL player. Number one, why doesn't it just go to an independent arbitrator as opposed to the commissioner of the National Hockey League, who, you know, he's going to overrule George Parros? I mean, he has, so I guess it's possible. And it speaks to the integrity of the commissioner's office that he would handle this in a professional manner. But then you have the disconnect with the Players Association as well, right? I mean, the players that these players injure are also representative of the Players Association. So the PA is going in there tomorrow to fight for Nazem Kadri, even though Justin Falk wasn't able to finish the series against the Colorado Avalanche.
And let's just hope that Colorado's had enough of Nazem Kadri, because if that's the case, I am personally going to drive the limo to Colorado and pick him up to bring him back to Buffalo. Thank you. Done. Because I'm going to tell you this, I don't care how many times he's been suspended. I think he's a heck of a hockey player, and would love to have him on our team.
Well, I hear you. And that's why I don't think, even though, you know, there is some media speculation and just some outside stuff that suggests maybe it is time in the offseason to cut bait on Naz, but I don't see it. I don't see it all. What I think he has to do, and this applied to Tom Wilson the last time, it wasn't that long ago, where there was the brouhaha with the New York Rangers. I mean, Matt Cook finally got to a place where he had to spend, what did he say, 50 hours watching video, 30 of those with Dan Bylsma, just breaking down the decision process, timing, all of those things, you know, his body position and how he'd go into hits and all of those things. Well, you know what, Naz, that's your off season. You're going to work out. You're going to do everything you have to do to keep your body healthy, but you're not coming into training camp until you can prove that you've watched 50 hours of videotape and can show us that you're invested in being an all-around star player in the NHL and not a guy that's spending a good amount of time, too much time, sitting on the sidelines because of suspension.
Well, if he comes to Buffalo, we'll just make him do five.
Would it actually be videotape, though? That's the thing. Dregs, we left a lot on the table, man, but great time with you today. Thank you so much for your time and moving your schedule for us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Enjoy your long weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the playoffs here. We'll catch you next week. Darren Dreger, normally every Friday right here, but we're off Friday. So next Friday at 11 o'clock, he'll join us. But this week, as I mentioned, we're off for Memorial Day. We'll come back. We'll recap not everything that he said, but some of what he said. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.